Blog Talk Radio.
You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes you will, that you're beautiful.
Good morning, everybody, and good afternoon. And yes, we are as beautiful as we feel. Thank you very much for joining me, and you're important to Sarah. And you are very important to me. And the subject that we're going to be talking about today is the right of women to own their own bodies. And believe me, I am a mother, I have two daughters, and the right to own our own body and make our own decision is very important to me. So before I bring on our very, very important guest today and what he has done to really kind of stir the pot here and bring awareness, I'm going to give you a little point of view from my perspective. This show is about being a woman, holding on to the right to own and decide about our own bodies. It is not a political discussion, but one of humanity. I personally believe that religion, sexual rights, gay rights, do not belong in politics, because a person who governs a country needs to be neutral to govern it without any bias or any form of dictatorship. Women have fought long and hard for the right to be equal. We have fought for centuries for the right to be seen, to be heard, to be valued, to be a partner in life. Once upon a time, way back in the Greeks, a woman was revered and looked upon as a leader, as something very special. But along the way, through fear, control, and dictatorship, women became objects to own with no voice, no control, and no way out of their situation. Some keeping women ignorant, keeping them uneducated, keeping them poor, and keeping them in fear enslaves them. And this, of course, in some societies suits them very well. So women would do anything to survive because they do not know any better. Women are not servants, we're not breeders for your children, we're not your sex slaves or your pleasure caretakers, we're not there just to clean your home. Women have been given this wonderful gift of making babies, and unless you have given birth, you have no way of understanding that incredible experience. So women have had enough, we're not going to take it anymore. And in this last century, we fought hard for the right to vote, to work in a man's world, to equal pay, to own in our own home, our own lives, our own bodies, and we're finally changing that archaic mindset, and men were welcoming women, inequality, and all that they bring to the table. So why is it in this century, now, in 2012, we are facing politicians and some religious leaders around the world wanting to take women back to that archaic? Let's see, maybe women are too much in power now. Maybe we are thinking of ourselves and our futures and taking ownership for our own decisions. And maybe that is not sitting well with the status quo. But we do have the right to own our own bodies and decide for ourselves. Do you think this is not happening? Wake up, folks. Pay attention. I know politics can be dirty, and who wants to listen to them fight back and forth, and you said this and I said that, but read what they're saying between the lines. Please take ownership of your choices, and please do not be ignorant to them. Nobody has the right to tell a woman how to treat her body and how to do birth control. Nobody has the right to tell us whether we should have Planned Parenthood or no birth control, there are possible ban to be imposed on contraception. What is going on here? It doesn't mind-boggle. It is long known that if you give a woman an education, finance in her business, you have a creative, flourishing, independent woman. So take that ownership, women, and think. Read about it. Speak out. Ask questions and educate yourself before you hand yourself over to someone in power who will dictate what you should do with your body. A couple of months ago, I saw this incredible, empowering video. This is my body. I was blown away. I had to repost it and get it out to everyone. The creator of this video saw this and made a comment and thanked me for it. I thought it was Christmas. I said, "You're coming on my show. I have to know what drove you to do this." And to my surprise, it actually was a young man. And I thought this had been done by a woman. And that made it even more special. He is a creator and he respects and loves and values women. So Jason Stefanik is an Emmy Award-winning writer and director. Jason uses the art of storytelling to help others make sense of this complicated world in which we live in, and he uses multidisciplinary approaches to his work. Jason sees his objects through the eyes of an anthropologist, immersing himself into the culture of the people whose stories he hopes to one day tell. Shaped by a strong feminine upbringing, Jason is a social entrepreneur and believes in the ability to foster social and political change through the juxtaposition of social activism and filmmaking. Jason is currently pursuing a Master's of Fine Arts in Film and Television Production at the Trish School of the Arts of New York in New York University. His film credits from that program include short narrative films of The Garden, a short documentary titled The Organizer's Burden, and a short narrative of the film The Choi Family, among others. Jason is also currently developing his first feature movie. I know this young man is going somewhere. You can feel it. You can sense it. We're looking at maybe another Spielberg. Let's see. But I think we're going to be seeing him receiving an Oscar sometime in the future. Why? Well, it's not that just he knows how to go deep down into our consciousness and make us think, but he knows how to bring that passion out in that thought, make us listen, make us sit up, and make us repeat it in our thoughts. So I am extremely happy to have Jason on the show today. And Jason, I welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much, and for that very kind and generous introduction.
You are most welcome. Now, first and foremost, I know that most people did think that a woman had produced this video. And here you are, a young man. Please do tell us what inspired you to put this video on.
Yeah, so it was earlier this year, and I was working on a number of other projects, you know, for NYU, for, you know, just kind of on my own, and I was following the news very closely because of the upcoming election and just in general, and I was seeing all of these things that were happening. Susan G. Komen cutting off funding to Planned Parenthood and the way that Sandra Fluke was attacked by Rush Limbaugh, and I was just very frustrated. I felt very helpless, the way that I think one does normally when they read, you know, news that they think is awful and they feel like they have nothing they can do about it. So I was very frustrated, and the idea for doing some sort of project kind of came to me. And it was, the initial idea was very different than what it ended up being, but it just kind of hit me. In an off moment, I was working on something else, and it just kind of hit me. And from that moment on, I went to a friend from college. Her name was Siobhan. And she is an actor and a writer, and we had just reconnected after not like talking for a couple years. And I went to her and I asked her to kind of co-write it, to help me write it, and she did. And from then on, her and I kind of collaborated on the script. She performs in the piece, and I directed and edited over the course of, you know, like 2-3 months before we put it online in July. So it was really kind of just born out of a sense of helpless frustration, and I'm not one to necessarily sit still when something is happening that I don't like, or if there's something I want, I usually try to find a way to act. So that's exactly kind of what I did in this situation.
I mean, that's, you know, that's really kind of, you know, a lot of people will get to the streets and start protesting, and quite honestly, that really, you know, very rarely works. And, you know, with a beautiful thing called YouTube nowadays, people can really express themselves and, you know, make a point that is going to reach around the world. Now, I bet it wasn't hard to actually get the ladies that you have in the video to come on and speak out, because they all spoke with such passion and conviction.
Yeah, no, a lot of them, I would say just about half of them I had relationships with from other projects. I had worked with them on other projects. The rest I found through friends or through other NYU classmates. And really everybody I contacted for the most part was interested in the project. I would send them the monologue, and they were all very excited. It was a very quick turnaround, so, you know, they had to work hard to try to memorize this very dense 2-page monologue. But, you know, what we did too is I sent it to all of them and I said, I want to make sure that this feels honest, that it feels legitimate to all of you as well. So I sent the monologue to all of them, and a couple of them sent me feedback, and it resulted in a couple of tweaks to some of the lines to make
all of them, you know, more comfortable, all in the service of making the monologue as inclusive as possible. So yeah, you know, they were interested from the beginning. They had a chance to kind of give me feedback to make the script as good as possible. And then they all showed up in one day, in one 12-hour marathon session in a studio in New York City. They came one every 45 minutes, and we would record them doing the monologue and move on to the next person. And they were all really great.
I'm probably inspired by each other too. So I know that you've had many, many hits and drawn a lot of attention to this, but what accomplishment has actually come out from this video? What feedback have you had?
I would say, you know, besides like the incredible amount of views, all of the page likes, all of the kind of online media attention we got, it was featured briefly on the Melissa Harris Perry show on MSNBC. I think beyond all that, and that is incredible on its own when you think of, you know, how little money we had to spend on this and how I don't have, you know, any other resources than anybody else who uploads something online. I think for me, I judge the success of the video through the response that it's gotten from a lot of women and some men. You know, a lot of men have responded saying, I feel the same way. I'm so glad that someone's speaking out. I completely agree. I want to share this to support my wife, my daughters. You know, the responses from women have been just across the board, ecstatic, feeling like it's given them voice, given voice something they've thought in their head but could never express so eloquently. I've gotten messages from women who have suffered, you know, through domestic violence or through sexual abuse, and they found the video online, and they said that it just gave them hope or made them feel empowered and made them feel that they were worth something after feeling so worthless. And I think, you know, there is nothing you can ask beyond that as somebody who wants to create stories or media in the world and know that something you created affects somebody like that. So
yeah,
for me, the greatest success is that.
Right, and it's not just like, you know, a great movie, you come out, you've had a laugh, and you've forgotten about it. I mean, this is a message that can go on for years, because quite honestly,
yeah,
it's not as if it's going to be cured overnight. And you know, it's something that really even could be translated in other languages, or, you know, and what I have noticed is that, you know, people, women are posting on Facebook, you know, like from Canada, this is my body, and,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure this happens else around the world, is that you've given a voice to women that even aren't on your video around the way to speak up for themselves, and, you know, I would like to see this even transform into, you know, into other people speaking up to their own rights as well, you know, homosexuals, gays, lesbians, you name it.
Yeah,
everybody is under the attack, and even a choice of religion. You know, this is my faith, not yours.
Right,
there's
right.
Another for you. Because, you know, it still kind of mind-boggles me in this day and age that we are still trying to put one religion as a hierarchy than the other. And, you know, faith is a personal thing, as is sexual preference, as is who we love, as is our choice over our own bodies. And it still should not be dictated by any one person, government, or ultimately a religion. So
yeah,
we know what this has done for people. You know, certainly you've made a statement here, and it certainly has, you know, captured that. We will touch a little bit on politics. We recently had here in Canada, you know, they were going to bring back kind of the ban on abortion, which was shot down. You know, I know that there is a particular, without mentioning names, a political party in the States right now that are, you know, trying to, which has inspired you to do this, you know, stop Planned Parenthood and even at all stopping contraception. And, you know, in this day and age, we're overpopulated, folks. We do need to take control on, you know, how many people we bring into this world, and, you know, look after the ones we have and not be overburdened by so many. And it's where do you think this thinking is coming from of suddenly the wanting to go back in time?
That's a really good question. I think to a certain extent the thinking has probably always existed in certain political parties and certain groups of people, and some years it's more politically advantageous to keep their mouth shut, and other years it's better to talk about it. For some reason, they've decided that this is a good time to try to drive this wedge between people using these issues. So you've seen it kind of spill out, you know, particularly in the United States, on the national level, on state levels and local levels. And I think it's very surprising, and it's put a lot of people off and probably engaged a lot of people politically that normally would have no interest in the back and forth, would have no interest in the fighting, because now all of a sudden such basic issues are being discussed that have been settled for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, from my perspective, having been raised the way that I am, using my mind and my heart to make decisions and come up with beliefs, I can't justify. I don't understand why people would dare to work so hard to restrict the rights of others. Because that's what this essentially comes down to. There's groups of people who are putting tons of energy into making sure that other people are not treated the same way that they are.
Yes. And, I mean, it really does come across as, you know, as subservient. Let's make women subservient again. And, you know,
yeah.
Behold a man. I mean, especially as a woman, this is what we see this. This is, you know, the last century with the surrogates, you know, the women's rights and women fighting so long. And, you know, women for a long time kind of became masculine when they went to work in the man's world to try and prove that they could keep up. And I think finally women have got this balance where they can work in this equal world of men and women and embrace their femininity, embrace bringing the female vision to the table and, you know, being comfortable in themselves and men finally being comfortable with a woman around them and looking upon them in the equality of their work and not, you know, the sexuality. And it's, you know, I thought it was finally we'd got there where the balance was happening. And then suddenly you see, you know, the dark ages raise up again and this backward thinking. And so it's, but I personally think it will backfire because I think that not only have you got a whole pile of women saying this ain't going to happen, but of course, you know, you go back to the rights of gay marriage and, you know, as I say, nobody brings up this faith thing, but there is a heavy emphasis on, you know, on certain religions too, that you need to vote
right.
a certain way if you're in that religion,
right.
and you know people aren't addressing that. And it's you know, whatever way you look at it, the moment they take away your freedom, and this is what they're doing, they're trying to take away the freedom, and they're trying to do that so they can control, and they do that because they fear. And you know, if I thought that in this day and age, guys, that we could stand up for ourselves and say, we're going to let go of the fear. Fear doesn't belong in our lives anymore. And we're not going to let people put us into that fear bracket or intimidate us back into that fear, that we're going to stand liberated within ourselves.
Mm.
And but there was a great video, I think you put it up, or somebody else put it up, of a girl with very robust and very colorful and numerous rings on there, and she was going to vote for Mitt because she had a cat called Mittens. And
yes.
You know, and it's just kind of like, sweetheart, you know, please, folks, and I don't like politics, but you know, before you make a decision on who you're going to vote for, really look to see what effect they're going to have on your life. And don't turn around later and say, but you know, I wouldn't have voted for them if I'd known. You know, it's just read up a little bit, listen a little bit, you know, suffer through a debate. And you read between the lines. And, you know, don't believe the propaganda, don't believe the commercials. Listen to the subjects and take ownership of that. But tell me a little bit about a couple of other things that you've done, the Organizer's Burden and the Choi family. You know, obviously they're different types of subjects, so, you know, show a little bit of your diversity here.
Yeah, so... You know, I definitely have an interest in exploring different political and social issues in my work, and I've done that a bit, and I haven't done it in other films. Those films happen to be, you know, other topics. So The Organizer's Burden follows a woman in Northern Virginia who, after the shooting at Virginia Tech in 2007, has been working to create more reasonable gun laws in Virginia. She's a mother, and you know, she didn't know anybody personally who was affected by the shooting, but she was just felt like that enough was enough after the shooting that happened at the Amish school, and you know, these mass shootings that seem to happen somewhat regularly in the United States. And so she created this grassroots organization, and she's developed a really close relationship with a lot of the survivors and victims' families from Virginia Tech, and she now works towards creating more reasonable gun laws, not restricting all guns, but, you know, reasonable things like getting extended size clips off the street or ending the gun show loophole, which allows people to buy guns without a background check at a gun show. So I made a short documentary about her, kind of mostly out of admiration, just interest in what was powering this woman, but also with an interest to see that issue kind of be resolved. And the Choi family is a somewhat similar issue. It's a fictional film, but I wanted to look at the effect of gun violence, but from an untraditional point of view. So the film follows the family of the perpetrator of a mass school shooting. And for a couple hours on the day the shooting happened, you see how the family reacts within their home as the FBI is on the way there to question them about the shooting. So both of those films, in their own different ways, kind of look at gun violence in the wake of what happened at Virginia Tech in 2007.
Yes, and that's certainly another subject, isn't it? You know, the
yes.
right to carry arms. And I think, again, it's we need to look at what century we're in. We're in 2012. We're not out there hunting for our food. You know, we're not, I mean, I suppose in some places there's still, if you're in rural places, I understand you need a gun for protection, you know, wildlife or, you know, you're far out, so you've got less support around you. But, you know, this guns kill. Bottom line of it is,
yeah.
if you're going to have, you know, it generally takes more innocence than it does the guilty. So it's again another thing that people need to kind of really look at. Do they need it? It isn't just a common right. It is a responsibility and one that needs to be taken very, very seriously.
Well,
do you
I think there are a lot of similarities between the two issues. I think politically there are a lot of similarities. I think there are groups of people, there are these interest groups with a lot of money behind them who turn these issues that, you know, if people looked at reasonably, I think a lot of us would kind of settle with the same opinion, but they take these issues and they try to scare people and they turn them into bigger things. So, for example, you know, most of the women, most of the comments on This Is My Body video have been supportive, but the two most regular dissents you'll see is about abortion, which is to be expected, but then also about how people support the right for women to have an abortion or to access birth control, but they don't want to pay for it. Nowhere in the video does it suggest that if one woman gets birth control, that some other woman or some other man should have to pay for it. But I think these mm-hmm. certain political groups have gotten so good at finding ways to kind of pull people apart on what otherwise is a very straightforward issue and finding a way to kind
yeah.
of to turn that into a political advantage. It's the same thing with access to guns. I think everybody can support reasonable solutions, but you've got, you know, pro-gun groups that are putting tons of money into trying to scare people that all your guns are going to be taken away by the government, and it's absurd. And it's the same thing.
Well, they misconstrued it, so it's manipulating the truth. And again, you know, I call it the CNN effect of everything fear-based. If you get people feeling scared, they'll run right straight into the trap. And again,
yeah.
it still comes into the fact, folks, is that, you know, if you want a voice, if you want to make decisions in your life, if you want to stand for something, if you believe something, act on it and commit to that action. But
yeah.
you have to educate yourself as to what is, you know, opposing you from living your life fully. You do need to take responsibility and accountability for yourself. And if there's something you see that is unjust, don't bury your head. Stand up and speak about it. Join together and do not let them fear you or terrorize you into, you know, fearfully voting for something or going along the way thinking you don't have a voice. We do have voices today. We are entitled, it's meant to be our right of free speech, to speak out and say, no, I will not take this. So,
yeah.
I mean, I really commend you for what you're doing. I bet you have a very proud family there, especially as you say you have a lot of women in your family. And
yes.
I bet they were very, very much behind you on this.
I think to a certain extent, like you and a lot of people, they're surprised at first to see this kind of come from me. And but at the same time, I think they're very proud, especially my mom. She seemed particularly proud to know that, you know, that I've absorbed the lessons that she was probably always putting there in front of me, and now on my own in my 20s, not living anywhere near her, and on my own volition, I fundraised and co-wrote a project that I hope shows such respect for women. I think particularly my mother is very proud, which is nice.
Well, you know, we look for leaders in life, and leaders come in all shapes and forms. Leader isn't just the president of a country or, the Pope, or, leaders are people that stand up and they inspire others to follow in something that they believe in. And it's not just about rah-rah and oh, this is great, let's go and do it. It is actually of a how-to, and what-to. To empower the people to walk forward in
yeah,
the state of Anna. Go ahead.
I think it's important for me to say that I feel like I am just supporting. I feel like that if I would never come to this issue, that women are fully capable of fighting and attaining their own rights. I don't think that they need a man, me or somebody else to come in and do it for them. And I think when you think about what my motivation and what my background is, coming from, the long-term relationship I've had with my girlfriend, my relationship with my mom and my grandmother and my younger sister, all of them just as much wrote it through me based on the influence they've had on me in my life than me actually writing it. So I think it's important to say that, I am happy to say I'm a man and I'm standing up for these issues, but I feel like I'm standing side by side with women, and I don't feel myself, standing above them when it comes to
no.
these.
And a leader isn't above, because a leader inspires people to walk side by side and forward. But somebody needs to be brave enough to stand up there and start the conversation. You have done that. I encourage people, please, to keep blasting this video out. Send it to every woman you know. Send it to every man you know. It's something that everybody needs to see. If you have a daughter, if you have a wife, if you have a sister, if you have a grandmother, any woman in your life, watch this video, send it out to everybody, because if we don't stand up, we don't speak out, and we don't put a stop to this, we're going to start going back to enslaving women instead of empowering them. So, Jason, you've got 2 minutes now to tell everybody how they can get hold of you and what your next project is.
Okay. I will start, too, by adding to that by saying I think you should also send it to all the men in your life, because I think part of the purpose of the video that I discovered after I made it is finding a way to get men off the sidelines on these issues. So please send it to everybody in your life. I have a website. It's jasonstefaniak.com. You can find me on Facebook or Twitter, or sign up for email updates through that website. From there, I make comments about the other projects I'm doing and fundraising. There's also a Facebook page for This Is My Body. It's just facebook.com/thisismybody. A lot of the posts are related to the video, or when other women record themselves performing the monologue from the video, they'll post it on that page. And there'll also be updates about future projects there, one of which I hope will be at least a thematically related follow-up to This Is My Body, finding a way to continue the conversation, be it about gender roles or whatever it might be, but finding a way to kind of continue what we started. And I'm looking to do that through building a small production company that creates kind of these artful political pieces like This Is My Body. So pretty soon I'm going to be looking to fundraise to purchase equipment and then find a small studio space and then go on to kind of create these high-quality, low-cost political pieces, either just for myself or for progressive organizations or really anybody with a message that I believe in, with the hope of continuing to use media to push these messages. And on top of all that, I need to find a way to finish my NYU thesis project and graduate in May on time. So
I am
staying busy. Yeah.
All right. And I just want to spell your name in case people don't know. It is Jason, and it's Stefaniak.com, right?
Yeah. Yep.
JasonStefaniak.com. So Jason and Stefaniak. .com. Jason, thank you so much for being on the show, darling. I really do appreciate this. Keep up the good work. You've made a wonderful statement here. I'm very proud of you. And folks, just, get this interview blasted around. Get his video blasted around. We can make a difference. We just need to pull together. I have to go. I bless you very much. Take care, Jason.
Thank you very much.
Next week on my show, I have Anna Smith, who's going to be talking about the wonderful healing effects of music to manifest good health, to manifest wealth in the way it changes the frequency in our life, and definitely has a very empowering impact. So please do listen into the show next week, and don't forget on the importance of your talent, Marla Dennis will be on with self-branding. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful week.